This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
This is Megan Arquette with Beach Bungalow 8.
And this is Joni Webb with Cota, Texas.
And I'm Anna Spiro from Absolutely Beautiful Things.
Welcome, Anna. We're so excited to have you this week on the Skirted Roundtable.
Hi, Anna.
Hi. Thank you for inviting me.
All the way from Australia, where it's 14 hours ahead, and it's right now 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so it's 1 p.m. on Tuesday, the next day, which is just freaking us all out.
That's right, it is.
So, Anna, when we started doing this, we all talked about how we started blogging and our backgrounds leading up into blogging, and that's what we like to hear from our guests, because I'm sure all of our listeners really want to hear from you as well, you know, how you started, how long you've been doing it, and your whole kind of blogging design story.
Okay. I started blogging in the December of 2006. I sort of fell into it in a really strange way, I'm sure like many people have. I was Googling Louis chairs or something, and I stumbled across a blog which was Style Court, and I just became absolutely obsessed with it, and decided maybe after sort of 4 months of following her blog and not making a comment or doing anything like that, that I would start my own blog in an attempt to record my own work and, you know, just things I liked, that sort of thing. It was never meant to become anything, or I just, you know, set it up because I thought it would be fun. I happened to then, you know, I started to get into it like everybody does in the early days, and I emailed Courtney and I said, Courtney Barnes from Style Court, and I said, oh, hi, I think your blog's great. And she just emailed me back, and she was really lovely to me, as she is to everyone. And she posted a few of my things and a little sofa, the Lulu sofa that I had designed. She just, you know, she posted it on her blog, and then it all started from there. So I really have a lot to her to be grateful for, to Courtney, I believe, you know, supporting me in those early days. And then it's just grown from there, as it does with everybody, I suppose. Yeah.
When you started, did you, you know, post really like every day, or were you trying to sort of ease your way into it?
To be honest, I can't really remember. It's been such a crazy sort of journey, but I think I just posted because every day, I suppose, because I had so much in my head that I wanted to sort of put on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really excited about it, and it was fun. And, you know, I think I've always tried to post pretty regularly, actually, even though that does become very hard sometimes.
Yeah. Now, you have a design studio, Black and Spiro. Tell us about your design business.
I have a store in a inner city suburb of Brisbane called New Farm, and we've been here since 2001. We started out, you know, my business partner at the time and I he was a renowned Brisbane designer, and I went into partnership with him, and we, you know, did decorating and that sort of thing. And I always wanted to have a shop. I think lots of girls want to have shops. And we opened the shop front. And to be honest, it really, I mean, it's been a really hard struggle, you know. Mm-hmm. It's hard work. It's just, and, you know, you'd have days where you just wouldn't sell anything. And it's not as glamorous as it all sounds. And, you know, it's just been a long, hard journey. And we're now, you know, it's doing really wonderfully now, but in the early days it was just so hard. I mean, there were days where I thought, oh, we might just have to close down, you know. So it's very interesting. I just didn't ever think that it would.
Not to interrupt, but that really surprises me that you say that, because I look at your store and it's so gorgeous and it's so full of inventory and it looks so prosperous. So it kind of surprises me to hear you say it's a struggle, because from afar it looks very easy, you know.
Yeah, it's great now, but it was always a struggle. And I think being in Brisbane in Australia, it's been a city that is still very young, still growing tremendously. It's not like Sydney or Melbourne where, you know, there's lots of wonderful stores and people go to Sydney and Melbourne to go shopping and all of that. So it's been, and Brisbane people, it's been very hard to educate them, you know, with beautiful things and good design and all of that. You know, they go to the big chain stores here like Freedom and IKEA and Domain and all of that sort of thing. So yeah, it has been a struggle, but now, you know, in the last probably 2 to 3 years, it's been really great. And that's just so exciting for me, because there were times where I thought I was going to fail and that I didn't think it was going to happen for me. And that really stressed me out, because this is my absolute passion. I live, breathe, drink, sleep my business and what I do.
Can you tell us where Brisbane is geographically, like if we were looking at the map?
Yeah, that was my question too.
So where, if you look at the map of Australia, Sydney, do you know where Sydney and Melbourne is?
Mm-hmm.
Sydney and Melbourne are down towards the southeast, and Brisbane is 1 hour flight north of Sydney. So we're in the state of Queensland, and we are on the side of New Zealand, basically. We have very hot climate. It's, you know, it's the sunshine state, so to speak. So, yeah.
Is it beachy at all? Well, you're right on a coast, so is that beachy?
Yeah, we have lots of great beaches here, and you've probably heard of the Gold Coast. Have you heard of the Gold Coast? I mean, that's not a place I really like to go to, but that's a renowned place here, and yeah, we have lots of great beaches and, you know.
Because one of the things that always has appealed to me about your aesthetic was I just sensed there's something about your aesthetic that sort of brings forth sort of the whimsy and the youthfulness of having a coast, right, you know, being on a coast. So that's why I asked, because I can just sense it in everything, you know, you do.
Yeah, well, I think I've grown up on the water. My parents have a house on the bay, and then we always used to go to Stradbroke Island as children, and they had a beach house there, and we've grown up living on the water, so I suppose that's really come through. Well, maybe, yeah.
Anna, your aesthetic is all about bright colors, and I mean, your blog, the background is the hot pink, and everything is hot pink and blue and white and the lime green. And have you always been drawn to that, or is that something new for you?
Joni, I think I have. I've grown up in a house full of blue and white, which is my mother's influence. And although I really have a problem with, I don't want to be her, I suppose my family life and how I've grown up is so very important to me. And I suppose the blue and white thing really comes out from that. And then I suppose I've mixed it with my own slant being, you know, the pink, which I'm absolutely in love with pink. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I love it. It goes with so many colours. I just adore it. And then I suppose I really enjoy bright, fresh, clear colour palettes. And that's what I am drawn to. And yet I do love an all-white background as well. So all of that against an all-white background is something I'm very much drawn to.
You just moved and your new house is painted white floors, painted white walls, yet everything inside of the white palette is, you know, bright, bright, bright.
Yeah, and I really enjoy that white background as a backdrop to all my things and my collections and my beautiful fabrics that I collect and, you know, my paintings. And I suppose that white background is some sort of form of grounding in a way for all the happenings of my things, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Now, do you have one thing we've all talked about when we talk about working for clients is, you know, obviously we all have the things we personally just love. Do you do a lot or much or any work that's not in this, your, you know, white and bright clear color palette for clients who come in, you know, who hire you but want dark? Or do you find you're really just, you have your look and that's what people are coming for?
It's funny. I used to, of course, you know, in the early days, do all sorts of different things. But I suppose in the last couple of years, people have really started to come to me for the particular look that I create. And that's really exciting for me. But in saying that, I always adapt it to them and make sure that it has their personality coming through. That's very, very important to me, that the house isn't my house. When I walk away from it, it's theirs.
I think it's interesting and telling in a way that you said that, you know, it's been in the last couple of years that more people are coming to you for your Anna Spiral look, for lack of a better term, but that's also when things have really gelled for your business too.
And to be honest, I have to say, if you look at that time frame, that's when I started the blog. So it's quite funny, you know. The blog I started in December 2006, and I really do believe that without that blog, I wouldn't be sitting where I am today. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be talking to you three incredible ladies, and, you know, it really has done so much to help propel my career, and that's just really very, very amazing, I think.
Anna, of your readership, how many, is it majority from your area, or what do you find that your main readership, where are they located geographically?
The biggest readership is from America, and then the next biggest is from Australia. So it's very strange.
Have you ever had anyone come into your shop?
Well, all the time from your blog.
Yeah.
All the time. They come and take photos, and it's funny. It's fun. I'm a bit embarrassed by that. I'm a bit of a, I hide in my back office a bit because I get a bit embarrassed, and, you know, I may seem a bit out there on the blog with posting my own work and all of that, but if the people that know me well know that I sort of get a bit embarrassed and shy. Yeah.
Well, I think any of us, if we've had that moment of being recognized somewhere, it is a bit strange because you kind of think of the internet as this huge place, and, you know, it's kind of being lost in a city. You just don't believe anyone's paying attention. Then all of a sudden, when you realize, you know, you're being looked at and then approached, it's a kind of strange feeling.
Yeah, I had a lady approach me, and we have a store here called David Jones, and that's, you know, they have, you know, they're like a department store. And I was in the shoe department a few months ago, and I was just buying some shoes, and I was racing in because I'm always racing around like a crazy woman, and I was waiting for these shoes to come out, and this woman comes up and touches me and says, "Oh my goodness, hello." And I said, "Oh, hello." And I didn't even think for one minute that I thought I may have met this person before, and I didn't remember. And then she explained that she knew me from the blog, and I was really taken aback. And I was, "Oh, very nice to meet you," and all of that. And then about a few days later, she sent me an email apologizing for coming up to me. She said, I just feel like I know you because I read your blog. And I realized after I did that that you don't know me. And I said, "Oh, look, that's fine. That's what I, you know, that's what all part of it." But it's just a bit strange sometimes, you know. It's just a bit weird. Mm-hmm. Do you all feel that? Have you had that?
I had it
a couple times. Yeah.
It is a little strange when you realize you're being like stared at, talked about, and then approached. And I'm always it's a terrible problem with me. I never remember if I've met people. I have a terrible recollection of faces and names. And so, you know, that happened to me, and I was, you know, like, "Oh, I must know these people," and scanning my brain, and it turned out I didn't.
Did you know? Joni's readers just come up to our house.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness, Joni. I would too if I wouldn't. I'd maybe email you before, but I'd love to meet you one day. I think you're amazing. I really do. Those posts you write, oh, my goodness, I don't know how you do it. So inspiring.
Thank you. I just want to say something. You know, Anna started, I guess, about 6 months before me. So to me, it's like she's been blogging forever.
Me too. I feel like I've been doing it my whole life.
I know. But you're such an inspiration because it's always positive. It's always beautiful. And when I'm like in a bad mood or I'm down or depressed, and I'll say to myself, "Let me go look at Anna," because I know it's going to lift my spirits, because whatever is going to be on there is going to be, you know, absolutely beautiful. I mean, that sounds so silly, but it's true. And I really admire that you've kept that, you know, that focus on your blog. There's never been any negativity or any...
There has been. I had a bit of a mini breakdown a few months ago when I said I was...
Well, I know that, but...
Because I don't know, I think I have a real problem sometimes, you know, writing about myself. Do you all, I feel like I'm always talking about myself, and that sometimes doesn't sit well with me. And, you know, I look at people like Courtney and I think Courtney Barnes, and I just think she does it so well, and she writes so beautifully, and she never says anything about herself, and then I'm here's me saying all this stuff about myself, and I really, I question it every day. So that's something.
Well,
that
Anna, I do have to tell you that I always feel like I want more of yourself. So I don't feel that way that you're giving us too much of yourself. I always feel like you kind of do hold back a little when you're showing your work. It's always not enough for me. You know, I'm going to see more of it because I love your work so much. Your work is such an inspiration to me.
Do you ask your clients for permission to show work you've done for them, or how do you deal with that?
Very important to me. Yes, I do. And I've had a few that have said, no, I prefer not, which is absolutely fine. I completely understand it. But always ask permission. That's very, very important to me, yes. Yeah. When I do show my work, we get so much inquiry, and I must say it's very good for my business. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's very important to me. So,
well, somehow you do a really good job at not, I mean, so many people who, you know, when we talk about blogs or people who have criticism about bloggers, it's about that, you know, all we're doing is staring at our navels and thinking we're so fabulous, and you never get that through your...
Well, I hope not.
Never. I mean, it's like you're showing it to us, but not in this gloating way or anything like that. It's just beautiful, and it's here it is, and there is something about your voice. You know, and speaking to you now, I can tell it's you coming through on your blog. It's really interesting. You can sort of feel it through your voice.
Yeah.
So don't fear that. Don't let that edit you, because whatever you're doing it right.
The fact that you are so far away, you know, that the majority of the design blogs are here in the States, and, you know, so you have a separateness that makes you exotic. And also, I think when you do talk about yourselves, it's not the same old event that we all either got invited to or heard about, you know, so which is really, you know, neat.
It's really funny, you know, I think you all must get invited to so many things and all of that stuff, which, I mean, I'm really must say I'm glad I don't get invited, because I don't go to half the things. I'm a bit, I hide myself away. No, but so far as Australian, I think this could be interesting to say that so far as our blogs here in Australia, it's still so very new to the Australian people, whereas in the US it's so big and done and happening, and it's still so very, very new here, and there are just so many new blogs popping up over here all the time. And, you know, I think it's really interesting, and I think I think it's great to see who's popping up over here, because it certainly, we've been very, very slow off the mark, I must say.
Which is interesting, I think, because, you know, just reading the Australian design magazines are just so beautiful. You know, it's clear that there is a mature, fashion-forward design aesthetic, often, I think, you know, certainly more fashion-forward than a lot in the U.S. And so it's
interesting. You all do. I love it. See, to me, I'm so inspired by all your beautiful fabrics, like all those quadrille fabrics and China seed.
Me too.
Oh, my God, I love them. And we don't get those here. I went to L.A. a couple of years ago, and I got all the samples from the, you know, that design center in L.A. And
EDC.
It's a nightmare to get them, I have to tell you. I mean, it's been a nightmare to get them, but we do bring them in here. I bring them in through us, and it's, you know, it puts a really lovely different sort of slant on my work here. But oh my God, but do you know what? It is so expensive. I mean, you know, we can get Chiang Mai Dragon through Schumacher and Imperial Trellis and all of that. I know you've probably all done it, but over here it's still so exciting for people here. But do you know how much money Chiang Mai Dragon, I believe, in Australian dollars, for us to buy it is like, through our wholesaler, is like $290 a metre. Or $300 a meter. Like, it's so expensive. I mean, the Imperial Trellis wallpaper it works out at like $1,200 a roll. Like, it's just
a roll?
It's so expensive. I can't tell you how expensive it is. And I've got my office clad in it. And I, my clients come in and they say, oh, well, we want that. And I said, oh, I cringe every time because it's, you know, it's so expensive. And I mean,
it's, you know, it's expensive here too, I think, though, you know, but yeah. Not nearly. It sounds like it's twice as much there.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a bit disappointing. It's a bit hard, you know, to sell it. But
yeah,
it's great. I love your product. I love all the beautiful printed linens you've got over there. And for most part, Australia has been inspired, I believe, by European design rather than American design. And so I think it's really great. Well, I'm loving American design because it's something new and different for us here. It's just great as a designer here to try and, as a designer anywhere, you always try and sort out the unique and find the different. And that's what I'm always trying to do, is trying to find something new and exciting and different to mix in with my antique dining tables and my, you know, antique side tables. And, you know, I think I'm always looking for something new, as any designer would, I'm sure. I'm very excited to announce that my Black & Spiro website, which has been coming, you know, for the last 3 years, is about to be launched.
Oh, great.
And I haven't told anybody that, or nobody knows that except for you three now and maybe everyone else, but it will be launched in about 3 weeks' time. So,
oh, God, I can't wait.
That's great.
Yeah.
So that's going to be my website. My
web address.
It's www.blackandspiro.com.au. And that will be,
And will it be a portfolio? Will it be also selling items? What all will it be?
At this stage, it's going to be the portfolio. And then we'll be releasing what is going to be called my signature furniture collection. And then after that, we're going to be releasing the online store, which is going to be called Ebony and Twist, which is a play on the words Black and Spiro. So that's going to be very exciting as well. But that won't be happening till next year. So there you go. You've got a new, exciting news.
We've got the scoop.
Well, yeah, you got the scoop.
Yeah. I love that Ebony and Twist, Black and Spiro. That's great.
Yeah.
Are you going to do a fabric line? And I foresee you doing a fabric line.
Maybe one day. It's a dream to do something like that, and maybe a dream when I'm ancient to maybe hopefully one day do a book, but maybe that's thinking that I'm too good.
Oh, a book would be great.
But I think it would be a dream to do that. It may never come true, but maybe one day. I'd love to do that, absolutely. Anyone, I mean, I'm sure, but it just would, you know, I've got a lot of different goals and, you know, like anybody would have, and I just hope that one day I can look back and say that I achieved those goals. And I'm very, very serious about what I do. Actually, Holly Becker from Decorate did a small little interview on me the other week, and I wrote on it that if I had another life, I wouldn't be as serious, and I'd be out in the country somewhere with big gumboots on and arranging flowers, and, you know, that's the other life I'd maybe hope to have. But, you know, this one's pretty good at the moment.
Why do you think you are so you're serious about your work? Do you think that's...
Joni, I breathe, I eat, I drink, I sleep it.
Were you like that at school, though? I mean, is that something...
No, I suppose it's only that... Well, I just would hate to fail. I want to make sure that I do it well. I want to make sure I do it right. It's my love of my life. And in some ways, sometimes the business, and this sounds terrible, but it gets put before everything else. And I know that may sound so terrible to so many people, but of course my son and my husband are the most important thing in my life. But this business is, it's my life. And without it, I don't know what I don't know. It's very, very, very...
Did you go to school? Did you study interior design? And how did your career come about?
I left school. It's a funny story. I mean, we're probably getting way beyond our limit.
No.
I left school. Well, my grandmother had a designer always do her work, and he was very renowned in Brisbane and did beautiful, beautiful work. And he and my grandmother and my mum, they all became friends. And when I was midway through my last year of school when I was 17, his girl or lady that worked for him that did all his running around and sort of bit of decorating and bit of work, she was going to leave and set up her own business. So there was an opening available. And the girls and I were only talking about this morning, but my grandmother stepped in for 3 months from, I believe it was around August, maybe a bit later, until the November when I finished school. And she filled in and answered the phones and did all of that so that he wouldn't put on another girl for me. So how amazing is that?
Wow, that's interesting.
And then I worked for him for a fair few years, and then he asked me to go into business with him. And we went into business, and we moved the store to New Farm in 2001. And then we worked together for a few years, but, you know, he was ready to move on and that sort of thing. And he moved out of the partnership, and I took over the business, I think, I can't remember, maybe 4 years ago or 5 years ago, three, four, 5 years ago, I can't remember now. And ever since then, it was really scary when I took it on all on my own. It was really scary. I was so scared because I'd always worked for him and been with him, and, you know, it was just really scary. I vowed and declared I'd never fail, and it was really hard when he left. And then I took it on and went bullet a gate at it, and now here I am, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's a great story. You know, it's really shows. I think your passion definitely comes through your blog and talking to you and hearing it goes back to when you were a teenager, and that's really
absolutely. And that's the other thing. I mean, I was only thinking about this recently, but as a young girl, we lived in a lovely old, what's called a Queenslander here. It's an old timber house, and we're on a large block of land, and my mother used to have these amazing garden beds and roses and sweet peas, and they used to have this little garden shed, and it had a trellis, and all the sweet peas used to grow up the trellis, and I used to run around there with my friends and my neighbours, and I used to cut flowers out of Mum's garden and sell them on the side of the road. I mean, how strange is that? And she used to kill me. I mean, she used to just really, you know, take me up by a noose, but, you know, all her beautiful flowers, and I used to sell them. And, I mean, you look back at that and you think, well, it was always meant to be.
Yeah.
I was always meant to be doing what I do.
Yeah, you found something pretty and you had to share it with the world.
Yeah.
Well, obviously your grandmother saw something in you that you may not have even seen in yourself. So that's very interesting that she would go and work and hold the job for you.
She is an amazing woman, and she I have so much to be grateful for her for. She believes in her family, and I don't know if it comes through on my blog, but family
is
so important to me. And without my family, I would be nothing. And we all support each other, and family is paramount. And my grandmother is just the most amazing woman, and her auntie used to be a fashion designer in Brisbane, and she had these amazing, like, you know, this amazing business where they used to make all these amazing couture dresses, and many, many, many years ago, Auntie Lynn was her name. And so the creative stuff sort of comes through in so many ways. And my other grandmother, she's an artist. So there's so many bits of creativity in my family, and I think that sort of, you know, all come through into me, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
What really comes through your blog is, going on more with what you're saying, is your love of your mother.
My mum, my mum is a lawyer, and she would kill to be in my office here right now. She one day joked and said, "You're so lucky, you have all these beautiful things around you, and all I've got around me are yellow manila folders." And, uh-huh. You know, I think now she changed them to pink, which is quite fun for her. She's a true inspiration to me. She's got so many wonderful good values, and she's a strong woman. I'm not as strong as her. She's clever. She arranges flowers beautifully, and she taught me to love beautiful things. So really, I have so much to be grateful to her for, and I just love her dearly. I'm almost crying. And thank you so much for asking me to be involved. But you're all such an inspiration, and, you know, I just I think it's wonderful that I've been able to talk to you all, and because sometimes I do feel like I'm sort of way down here, and you know, I don't actually talk to any people or bloggers or anything, and I just think it's been really nice to talk and find out.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Joni Webb from Coat to Texas, Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings, and this week we are joined by Absolutely Beautiful Things blogger Anna Spiro. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com, or you can download our podcasts from iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We always appreciate your comments and emails, Twitters, and suggestions, and we will be back soon.